Thanks for downloading this podcast. Make sure you subscribe to get the new messages every week. We appreciate your support. Enjoy the message.
You don't have to be perfect to be blessed by God. You don't have to be perfect to be used of Him. You don't have to be perfect to be called a Christian. Because when I first came to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the way I believe I was introduced to God was that, you know, God is a holy God. And you always have to be holy. Because if you are not holy, He's going to smack you. And you're going to feel it too. I never, in the first few years of my life, enjoyed God. Because I was afraid of Him. I was trying as much as possible to be good. But like Paul, whenever I wanted to do good, I found out that I was doing the wrong thing. One minute I was saved, the next minute I was not saved. I was told that, you know, when you are saved, you better hold on to that salvation, because if you miss it, then you're going to lose it. And so it was a life of fear. I did not really reverence God. I did not revere God. It wasn't that I love Him because of who He was. I knew I had to love Him, otherwise I was going to hear from Him. But as I continued to study the Word, I came to find out that that's not the God of the Bible. Because you can get everything right on the outside, but still wrong on the inside. Because you are afraid of what people are going to be thinking about you. You are afraid that God might spank you. You are living your life in fear rather than in love. You know, the Bible tells us that there is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear. I don't just want you people to be afraid of me. I want you people to respect me. Because if you respect me, I don't have to be in your homes to watch what you are doing. Because you respect me, you are going to apply the Word. Amen. Whether you are here in church or whether you are at home, whether you are at work, wherever you are. That's the God that I came to find out in the Scripture. There is no portion of the Scripture that I believe depicts God better than this portion. Remember that God has sent prophets, Samuel, to go and anoint who was going to be the second king of Israel. Saul was the first king of Israel, did most of the things right, but he really did not love God. God said, okay, I'm going to give another person a chance. Sent Samuel to Jesse's house to anoint a king. Jesse brought his children. That was a household that really wanted to raise leaders. Most of them were in the army, except the last one. You know, they had gone to the best army, navy, coast guard schools. And Jesse was excited. So he said, I know, brought the first child. And in those days, when God wanted to use somebody, He will anoint him, symbolic of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So when He brought the first child, and Samuel wanted to pour the oil, but the oil will not flow. Samuel said, this is not right. This guy, he looks good, looks right, talks right, has the right experience. What's going on? So at some point, God said to him, even you as a prophet, you have missed it. How many of you know that sometimes prophets can miss it if they look at things from the outward? You know, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 says, don't judge by his appearance, for the Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. Let me let that sink in. People judge by outward appearance. Their skin color, their height, their accent or no accent, whether they come from the north or come from the south. That's the way that people judge. But listen to this. But the Lord looks at the heart. How many people believe that you can have a very good heart and love the Lord and still miss it? We talked about Peter starting as Simon, fragile, reed, and then ending up as Peter, rock. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 20, the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking. I said, a bruised reed he will not break. In other words, this reed is already bruised. This person has already been wounded. This person has already been put down. This person has already been ignored. And you are going to help break him or break her. God does not break a bruised reed. Every one of us here carries some wound.
That's right. That's true.
We may have been hurt by sexual abuse. It may have been the first great teacher. It may have been the parents who thought that they were going to help you, but always compare you with your brother or your sister or their neighbor. Don't just judge people until you know the history.
That's right.
May I say that again?
Amen.
Because we tend to judge people by what they seem to look like on the outside. But God looks at the inside. God knows your history. If you are watching me, if you are in the house, I want you to know that God knows your history better than anybody else. That's why he doesn't deal with you like everybody else. He says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out till he has brought justice through victory. In other words, in what you are going through now, God's going to bring justice and victory through it. Amen? You may be starting as a failure, but God is going to heal you. God is going to put your life back together. Something wonderful, something good. Out of my confusion, he made something new. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something absolutely wonderful out of my life. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
See, when Matthew penned this statement, he was quoting a prophecy from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 4. The prophecy pointed to the actions of the coming Messiah. So this was talking about Jesus. The Messiah is now revealed to us as Jesus Christ, your Savior and my Savior. In the prophecy, the bruised reed and the smoldering wick refer to spiritually, physically, or morally weak people. Wow. I'm not asking anybody here to go out there and curse. But if you are under pressure and the curse that was in there that has not yet been cleaned up comes out, don't kill yourself. Because there's still room at the cross for you.
Yeah.
I thank God that I wasn't born here. I don't know many curse words, but who knows? Thank God. If I was born here and knew all the curse words, I probably would be preaching curses to you guys. I'm telling you. So don't judge people without checking their background. So a bruised reed and a smoldering wick refer to the spiritually, physically, morally. Some of them morally. Weak. That person who's struggling with issue in his life. That person loves the Lord so much, but oftentimes under pressure they fall apart.
Jesus.
Doesn't mean that they're not Christians. It just means that they have a weakness. If you can't pray for me, please leave me alone.
Amen.
A reed or grass that is bruised may be damaged, but it's not irreparable. May I say that again?
Yes.
You may have been damaged because of what you went through in life, but your life is not irreparable. What I mean is that God can repair you and God can use you. Even right where you are, God is not going to wait until you are perfect for him to use you. Right where you are, he can use you. You may have made a mistake when you were bringing up those children. Don't let the enemy use that to beat you up, because there's always a second chance.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
A A smoldering wick may be about to lose its fire. When I was growing up, we used to use this lantern. We put in kerosene there. We put in the wick, and we will light it. And then when the oil is about out, the wick will dry up, and the light will go off. But if you put in some more oil, the wick will draw the oil and will continue. So you may be drying up now. I promise you that God is about to revive you. He's about to revive you. Yes. A smoldering wick may be about to lose its fire altogether, but it can still be reignited. Aren't you glad that you can be reignited? Yes. Amen? In other words, a damaged character can be repaired and used. I don't know about you. If you don't like that word, I'll keep it to myself. Don't you sometimes wish that your Christian life graph was a straight line? Who understands what I talk about? I did mathematics, and we used to draw graph. Straight line graph is when, you know, there's no curve. It just goes straight. But there are also some graph that you drew and, you know, goes up and then comes down, goes up and comes down. Is that you that I'm describing? There's nothing wrong with you. You're just still a grub in the making.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
I praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Many of us here would wish that our life grub was a straight line grub, that you never made any mistakes. You never cursed. You never disobeyed. You never, I don't know what you did. Keep it to yourself. Don't tell me. Let me just see what I'm seeing now. Amen? Somebody say amen. Now, if you know anything about me, don't tell me. Just let me be what God tells me I am. You see? We wish that we never made mistakes and that we never had any weaknesses in our life, that you were always burning and never fading. Is there anybody here who's always burning and never fading? Or is there anybody like me who burns sometimes and fades sometimes and then reignite? I can raise my two hands and my two feet. See, we wish that our spiritual light never, ever went dim. Not at any time. The truth is that we all have made mistakes. Isn't it interesting, Roland, how we always magnify the mistake that some other person makes? We think that, you know, if we can step on somebody, then we can look taller than we really are. All of us in this room, every one of you watching right now online, if you are to be honest, you will admit that there are some areas in your life that you are still struggling with. Thank you, sister. The rest of us are meditating on that. But seriously, just because you are struggling in some area of your life does not necessarily mean that you don't love God. Unfortunately, many of us live our lives feeling disqualified, thinking that we don't measure up to God's approval. We don't measure up to God's favor. That we are not qualified for any blessing from God. See, my prayer is that this series will help you discover just the opposite. That God loves you right where you are. That God did not love you because you came to Him. You came to Him because He loved you. Because if you study the scriptures carefully, you will discover that the great men and women of God in the scripture were not perfect. You will discover that they all had flaws, yes. From Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Moses. They all had areas in their lives that they constantly were working on. Is there anybody here that has got any aspect, some part of your life that you are still working on?
Yes.
See? Abraham, like I said, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, they had blemishes in their lives, but God approved and used them despite their infirmities. See, this is the biblical principle that applies to God's children. You and I would like to rewrite the Bible stories. Now, Brenda, be very honest. If you were writing the Bible, would you have made Rahab the prostitute, the grandmother of Jesus? You probably would, but I would not have. Maybe now that I've seen, it's good for you to look back. But in those days, those people did not have anything to look back. We would like to rewrite the history. Have you noticed? Go and check the great-grandmothers of Jesus. And I'm not asking anybody to become a prostitute.
Right. That's not what you say.
Now, if you've been a prostitute in the past, don't tell me. Because I don't want to know your past. I just want to know your present. You are born again, spirit-filled Christian. Amen? But go and read Matthew chapter 1. You will see Rahab. You will see those women. One of those women, you know, really set up, wanted so badly to have a child, set up the father-in-law to sleep with her. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yet the Bible is going to present, this is the great-grandmother of Jesus. No, some of you will say, that's not my Jesus. But you know why God did that? Mm. It was to show you that your past is buried under the blood.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
This is not encouraging you to live a licentious, loose life. Mm-hmm. This is encouraging you to know that, you know, even with your struggles, God still loves you.
Amen.
See, if you were to rewrite the Bible, see, that's the thing that I like about the Christian Bible. It doesn't just give you the good part of people. It gives you everything about people. See, the key to God's approval is not that you perform perfectly. No, the key is that you have a heart that is fully committed to God. So that if you fall down 10,000 times, you will rise up and you say to God, God, I'm not going to leave you until between you and I we get this thing right. You're going to be like Jacob. Yeah, I stole the position from my brother. I've cheated. I've lied. But where can I go? Everybody else has already rejected me. I am going to fight with you. Or even if you have to break my thigh, Jesus. That's a whole lot better than walking with the thigh and going nowhere. The key to God's approval is not that your performance is always perfect. No, the key is a heart fully committed to God.
Yes.
I'm not really sure that my heart is fully committed to God. So why are you here tonight? You could have been where you used to be before. Now don't tell me where you used to be. God is looking for a willingness to grow as God takes you from one level of his glory to another. Can somebody say amen to that? 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 9 says, for the eyes of the Lord scan throughout the earth to show himself powerful on people who live a perfect life. No, to show himself to strengthen. Now, why do you want to strengthen something? Because it was weak. God is looking for people who say, Lord, I am weak in this area. I need your help. So God's eyes are scanning throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. God wants to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed, even though they have some issues in their lives. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. I almost asked to raise your hands if you have any issue in your life. But I don't want you to take a bathroom break, but so I'm just going to leave that alone. No. They are fully turned to God, even with their imperfections. Yes. Is anybody getting this message?
Yes. Yes.
Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 in the New Living Translation says, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of God. What does he say? He said, when you get close to God, then what used to blind you spiritually is removed. And then you begin to see things like God sees. That's when you change into his image. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord who is spirit makes us more and more like him. I thought that God said, you make yourself more and more like God. That's what I was taught. You better make yourself like God. You can't make yourself like God without the help of the Holy Spirit. Don't you somebody say you can't make yourself like God without the help of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit has to help. That's why we have the Holy Spirit is a helper. Makes us more and more like God as we are changed in his glorious image. So instead of feeling discouraged by our present struggles, be thankful on this level of his glory. May I say that again?
Yeah.
Instead of beating yourself up, or you beat up or you beat down, however you do it, you know? Instead of beating yourself up because you're struggling in some area, mm-hmm. just thank God that you are not where you used to be.
Yes.
Be thankful on this level while you are praising on to the next. Mm. Don't stop where you are. Hopefully, this series is helping you to do just that. I want us to pray for a pliable and moldable heart. Why don't you talk about a tender heart that is willing to bend in the direction that God wants to set you. Psalms number 139, 23 to 24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Is there anybody online or anybody here that ever had any anxious thoughts?
Yes.
Point out anything in me that offends you. In other words, don't try to dig things out. Because if God wants you to correct something, he's going to show it to you. And the first time you try, you may fail. But keep going and keep going. Just about to keep going for it until you get it right. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life.
Yes.
See, God doesn't expect you to live a life that is perfect. However, he expects that you have a pliable and moldable heart. This implies that you are willing to change instead of give excuses. You know, this is where I was born. We've always been like this. No, quit saying that. Mm-hmm. Say, Lord, between me and you, you're going to help me get this right. Mm-hmm. Tell God, I miss it again, but I love you with all of my heart. And I'm committed to working with you until I get this right. Because if you are truly committed to change, God will certainly extend his grace to you. And God will work with you until the change is carried out. He will work with you regardless of how long it may take. For many of us, it may take a day. Think about this. Some people, on the day that they came to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, God enabled them to get rid of their strongholds. Might have been drinking, drugging, and so on. But do you know that somebody can know Jesus as a personal Savior and still struggle with drugs? Thank you, son.
Yes, sir.
So if God delivered you instantly, pray for the rest of the people who are still struggling and still love the Lord. I had to repent because many years ago, I knew this brother. Truly love the Lord. When you get his Bible, you will see that this guy, he reads the Bible, underlines it, highlights it, and so on. But he was still struggling with drugs. Mm-hmm. And in my thinking before, you know, I was a whole lot younger than I am now. I said, this guy is not a Christian. But what made me a judge? I've never done drugs.
Right.
I don't know what it means to go through a life of drugs. Mm-hmm. What made me a judge over him?
Yes, right.
That young man would be crying like a baby. Mm-hmm. You can't I did not read the Bible as much as he did. Study as much as he did. That guy loved the Lord, but he was struggling with issues. Later on, I had to repent. Oh, Pastor Joshua, are you giving people a license to sin? People don't need a license to sin. People already know that they're sinning. They want to know that God loves them. God wants to be there for them. God wants to work with them and bring them from where they are to where God is taking them. Every now and again, we will see instantaneous work of the Holy Spirit. But for the most part, the Holy Spirit's work will be progressive. Because for many of us, if God was to deliver us instantly, we would think that we delivered ourselves. So God just allows you to struggle until, like Jacob, when he touches your thigh bone and you begin to limp, and you knew that, you know that you did not all have it together. So don't get frustrated and don't give up. Just somebody say, don't get frustrated. Don't get frustrated with your child. Don't get frustrated with your spouse. Don't get frustrated with yourself. Don't give up on your child. Just somebody say, don't give up on your relative. Be there for them and love them. Because God is still working on them. God is still working on you. What you need to do is to turn your life and your weaknesses completely to God and be willing to change. Ask God for daily grace. Because many of us are thinking about 10 years. No, don't think about 10 years. Just live one day at a time.
Yes.
If you've been able to do without drugs today, thank God for today. Don't say, oh, I'm not sure because tomorrow I'm going to. No. Thank God for today. And when the morning comes tomorrow, say, Lord, you helped me yesterday. I'm trusting in you minute by minute to help me. Now get away from those people who are doing drugs. If you are having problem in your marriage, get away from people who are always talking about their husband and their wives. Because I have found out that, you know, people tend to get together to talk about their weaknesses. No, get with people who are going somewhere. Latch on their coattail and go with them. Don't just sit around, you know, and somebody comes to you, oh, girl, how are you doing? You don't want to know how I'm doing. What do you mean? The jerk in the house. So why did you, you had to blame yourself for marrying a jerk. You married a jerk.
That's right.
Apparently you love the jerk. Mm-hmm. You call it the jerk or whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Girl, you don't know. See, you are sitting on in a restaurant. This man is so disgruntled with his marriage. Is this going to pass and wink you? Oh, my husband has never done that to me. See, you need to know who you hang around with.
Yes.
Because you don't even know that this girl is waiting for you to get out so she can get him. Oh, I'm just going to leave that alone. There is victory waiting for you. So don't give up on yourself. God's presence and his grace are always available. He will be there for you, and he will push you across the finish line.
Yes. Yes.
How many of you know that you are closer now than you've ever been?
Amen.
So never give up, because God will never give up on you. Paul writes, Paul was struggling. Can you believe, Lee, that Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, had some weakness in his life? He said, I struggle with this. And he said, 3 times I prayed, God, take this away from me. And God said to him, if I take this from you, go and read it. I'm paraphrasing. Then you are going to be prideful and think that you did it. He said, while you are struggling with this, my grace is going to be sufficient for you. He says, my grace is what you need. Somebody said, God's grace is what I need. God's grace is Christ, God's riches at Christ's expense. My power works best in weakness. Why do you need the power of God if you are already strong enough? 2 Corinthians 12:9. Don't somebody stay in faith. Stay in the word until you experience your breakthrough. Yes. Lord, I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you that I'm the righteousness of God.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you for the gift of no condemnation.
Yes.
For there is now no condemnation for me, because I'm in Christ Jesus. Because the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yes. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave his life for me. There is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear. Lord, I'm not going to be afraid of you, because I know that you do love me. Even when I make mistakes, I'm going to run into your laps.
Yes. Yes. Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Because as long as you don't quit, you'll finish the race.
Yes.
The race is not always won by the swift, but by those who endure. I like Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. He says, I have observed something else under the sun. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race. And the strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. Why? Because it's not how you start, but how you end. I watch football. The most exciting part of football is not that this team has accumulated these points. The most exciting part is that during the last minute in football, this team come to score 2 touchdowns and they win the game. And guess what? Many times their supporters have already left the arena, gone home. And then they're going to turn on the television at home to find out that, and they say, oh, I should have been there to watch this. No, you don't want to watch a rerun. You want to be there when the two touchdowns are made. If your heart is fully committed to God, it will be just a matter of time before whatever issue that you are wrestling with right this moment will fall on their side. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
No, God does not expect you to be perfect. He expects you to keep believing until the work is done. He expects you to celebrate every little accomplishment. Teach somebody to say, celebrate any little accomplishment. That's a down payment. The little accomplishment is a down payment for a total victory in the area that you are struggling with now. If you fall, don't make excuses at all. Don't condemn yourself either, thinking, oh, I know it wouldn't work. Don't say that. Say, I know my Redeemer lives. I know that he's going to show up. I may be down, but I'm going to be back up. I'm not a failure. I just failed. How many of you know that you can fail without necessarily being a failure? Many times the most successful people failed at something. So instead of beating yourself up, admit your fault. Get back up. Can you somebody admit your fault? Get back up and start all over. Tell God, yes, I have missed it again. But I'm going after you until I get it right. Stop beating down and condemning yourself. Accept yourself as you are right now. I'm not asking you to accept your behavior. I'm asking you to accept yourself where you are right now. Accept yourself as you are right now, but be sure that your heart is totally committed towards God. Learn to be happy right where you are. Don't you suppose to learn to be happy right where you are? But as long as you live, keep praising on towards the goal. Keep trusting in God to bring you to where you need to be. Like Jacob, be determined to stick with God until he blesses you.
Yes.
How many of you can make a decision tonight and say, I'm going to stick with God until he blesses me?
Yes.
Let me tell you this. You are victorious despite your struggles. Think about that. You are victorious in spite of your struggles. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 says, we are hard pressed on every side. Can anybody say, that's my testimony? I have been hard pressed on every side, yet I'm not crushed. You know why you're not crushed? Because there's somebody in the inside pushing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Thank you.
We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. See, if the enemy had his way, Roland, you would have been destroyed. Think about how many times that you've been down, but the Holy Spirit has come to pick you back up.
Yes.
And say, hey, we're going to get this right.
Yes.
You are still a winner.
Amen.
Let me tell you this, my friend. How you see yourself right now will very much determine whether or not you will ever overcome the issues that you are struggling with right now. See, it's easy to get discouraged when you deal with problems of life. It's easy to go around feeling condemned, feeling that you are a failure. Don't you somebody stop listening to the voices of the enemy? Stop listening to the enemy telling you that God is tired of you. How many of you, be honest, have ever heard a voice saying God is tired of you? He's tired of your praying and asking for help and then getting back into it. As though you took God by surprise. Stop listening to the enemy telling you that God is tired of you, that he won't bless you or use you because you are not good enough. Stop listening to the people who keep telling you that unless you are perfect and unless you overcome all your struggles, you won't experience God's favor. Be honest, how many of you have ever experienced God's favor when you saw that he should have spanked you?
Yes.
I can raise my two hands and my 2 feet.
Yes.
The truth is that despite your present struggles, God loves you. Yes. Touch yourself and say, God loves me.
God loves me.
Let me shock you. God doesn't love you now more than he did before you came to the knowledge of the Lord. You know why you came to the knowledge of the Lord? Because he loved you enough to look for you. In spite of your flaws, God sees you as victor in Christ. How many of you have ever heard, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us? That's because Jesus already overcame on your behalf. Soon the enemy is going to realize that he's already defeated. Romans chapter 8 verse 37 says, despite all of these struggles, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus. You may not yet have experienced a miracle that you are praying for, but I want you to think about this. You are already a miracle.
Yes.
Because you could have died in that car accident. You could have died in the gutter. You could, I don't know what you slept with. You could have been one of those casualties. But you are still here tonight. You are a miracle. Touch yourself again and say, I'm a miracle. Just look at how far God has brought you from where you started. You haven't yet arrived, but you are not where you started from. Don't compare yourself anymore to anybody else. Take time and celebrate every little progress that you have made. I want you to remember that. At one time, church was not in your schedule. Not at all. But tonight you are here celebrating the goodness of the Lord. Listening to the word. Sitting at the Amen corner, not even wait for old pastor to open his mouth. And you got to say, Amen. Hallelujah. That's something to celebrate. That's something to be thankful for. Celebrate the fact that despite your troubles, you are still here. How many of you are thankful that you are still here? The enemy is already under your feet, and he knows it very well. The scripture says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. So stop complaining. Celebrate the victory that God has given you already in Christ. Satan is already crushed under your feet. So accept the victory and don't wait until everything is perfect before you celebrate it. Celebrate tonight. Celebrate the fact that you are here. Celebrate the fact that you are receiving the word. Enjoy this level of glory while you are heading to the next. Then watch God takes you to heights beyond your wildest dream. To him alone be glory, honor, dominion, and power forever.
Thank you for listening to Changing Mindset Podcast by Pastor George Utah. Help us to share this message. We hope you will subscribe so you can receive the latest podcast to keep you inspired during the week. We are praying for you. We know God's best for you is still ahead. Call 706-485-0166 for more information and be blessed.